So the list is a little bit different, a little bit longer perhaps. And to do this in a streamlined manner, we're just going to ask two questions. We're going to ask, what did I do? And what did I learn? That's the two questions. What did I do? What did I learn? So what did I do? And I want to start with, like, the past couple of years, I think I started with the books I read or, like, an assignment I did or something. But this year, I want to start with some things that aren't officially on the list of things I had to do, but I think are really vital to ministry life and to my life in general. And so the first thing is that I read my Bible and I prayed. I tried to remain faithful in my Bible reading and prayer time. I did that through not only the stuff that I read for Sunday morning preaching and Wednesday night preaching, but I also read through some of the Minor Prophets, or the Book of the Twelve, you could say. I read through Galatians, Ephesians, and 1st through 3rd John multiple times. I looked at different aspects of the Book of Revelation. I started working through Philippians. And I began a short devotional by Robert Jones on anger, as I realized that some different manifestations of anger that we call like frustration or being perturbed started showing up in my heart, and I wanted to kill that in my life. In my prayer life, I started to adopt a model that Martin Luther explains in his book, A Simple Way to Pray. It's kind of like the ACTS model, the Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. But instead, it's called ITCP, which doesn't make a good word. So it's not a good thing, not a good mnemonic device, but you can blame Martin Luther for that. It's right. Maybe it was good in German. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. And it starts with instruction. You read your Bible, and you pray to God the things that you learned. Then it goes to T, which is thanksgiving. You thank him for the things that you learned about him and about yourself, about the gospel. And then you go to confession, which is confessing that which you realize that you have sinned based on that scripture that you read. And then prayer, which would be various supplications and things like that based on the text and also anything else that you might want to ask for. And so that's been really encouraging for me, a good way for me to be structured in my prayer time, and something that I've been trying to apply this summer. Also, I continued working on my Greek and Hebrew skills so as to grow in my ability to effectively read and exegete the original text of Scripture. And I read other books at home that are beneficial for my soul and for my understanding of God and His Word, in addition to the ones I read for here. But so even those things weren't technically internship specific, you could say, they were things that I think are very vital to ministry and ministry life. If you're not being fed first, then it's really hard to feed others. Rather than just preparing meals that you never eat for yourself, rather eating them first. As far as the official internship things, I read books. As always, I really enjoy sharing that information about these books and other books I read. One of my professors says that his spiritual gift is book recommendation, and I think that Christ has given me a measure of that grace and that gift as well. So the first book I read, I actually have them with me this year, was Discipling by Mark Dever. I think every single Christian should read this book. It's really easy to read. It's really short, really thin, as you can tell. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be discipling others. And Dever has a super helpful definition of discipling. He says that discipling is deliberately doing spiritual good to someone so that he or she will be more like Christ. Which that means that discipling is not just anything that happens in our interactions. It doesn't happen passively, it happens deliberately. But it also means that discipling does include many things that happen not just in a one-on-one interaction, but also or in a coffee shop or at a restaurant or something like that, but it also is on the Sunday morning gathering or at the Wednesday night or that Tuesday afternoon, whenever you deliberately do spiritual good to help others be more like Christ. And the primary place this is supposed to happen, Dever says, is in the church. That the church is the local, is the locus of where discipling should occur. Not parachurch organizations, not Christian schools, not Christian colleges, not anywhere else except for the church. That's where discipleship, discipling should happen. The next book I read was a book by Piper called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. It's a little bit thicker. It's an excellent set of essays done by Piper calling pastors to radical ministry. From anything from standing up to the for the gospel or standing up for the unborn, Piper is unapologetically pointed in his commands to follow Scripture and to not succumb to a common pitfall of pastors, which is to professionalize the office of elder, meaning that we are merely just like somebody who works at Honda, somebody who works in a business, somebody who works anywhere else, and all we do, this is just our day job. Rather, this is a God-ordained office of the church through which God shepherds his sheep, which requires men who look like Christ, love Christ's people, and are on fire for God's glory. That's a lot different than a person who shows up for a 9-to-5. And that's something that Piper really tries to sell in his book. Another book that is familiar to some in here is this book on authority by Jonathan Lehman. I cannot recommend this book enough to anyone in this room. It's a book that every husband, congressman, police officer, government worker, wife, parent, anyone should read. Like, anyone should read. And it's the main premise of the book is that the solution to bad authority is rarely no authority and usually good authority. He traces how good authority starts in creation, how it turns bad in the fall, and how it looks good again in redemption. And he even talks about submission. He talks about how authority comes from God, is attained through submission. It gives life to others. It's not unaccountable. It seeks wisdom. It's not authoritarian. It lovingly administers discipline. It willingly bears the costs of others' sin, and so on and so forth. And he even gives very specific applications for how that is applied in specific instances, like for husbands, elders, parents, churches, governments, and managers. Authority by Jonathan Lehman. Another book, a small one by Kevin DeYoung called Impossible Christianity. Impossible Christianity. This I think the subtitle really tells it all. It's why following Jesus does not mean you have to change the world, be an expert in everything, accept spiritual failure, and feel miserable pretty much all the time. And it's a really good book, kind of confronting some of the main thoughts of a lot of Christians, I think me included, that, well, if I didn't get my Bible reading time in at 6 a.m. this morning, I must not be doing something right. Or, well, if I'm not, you know, doing this enough, I must not be doing something right. Or he says, really, the main thing he's combating in this book is the phrase Christianity, or God loves you even though you're a spiritual failure. He says that's unbiblical, it's not right. He said there's some sense in which that's true. Of course, God still loves us even when we sin, yes. But the mantra of the Christian life is not to be, we are spiritual failures all the time, but thank God he has grace. Rather, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we are to strive for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus for the prize. That we truly can be obedient in life. That we truly do kill sin in our lives. Another book that I read, probably the best book on purity I know, is called Pure in Heart by Garrett Kell. All of us are completely fallen creatures, and that includes sexually. And he really does a great job of pointing and encouraging and disciplining the reader to Christ. And not making purity about abstinence, but making purity about, as he says, it is an orientation of the faith-filled heart that flees the pleasures of sin and pursues the pleasures of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Purity is about an orientation of your heart to pursue God and to believe that pleasures forevermore are truly at his right hand. Second to last is this book called The Hermeneutics of the Biblical Writers by Abner Chow. This book is really good. If you want to learn how to read your Bible, I would start here probably and then move on to other books. I wouldn't use this book only. This is a great book to use, and it's definitely a corrective on a lot of things. But it really, the main kind of stream of the book is to show you that the biblical writers read each other whenever they write their works, and that how they read one another and how they write their works in light of that should tell us how to read the Bible. If we're reading the Bible in a way that Paul does not, then we're not reading the Bible correctly, because Paul is an inspired author and we are not. And so that's a good approach to have to hermeneutics, or the study of Scripture. And the last book is He Will Reign Forever by Michael Vlock, and it's a pretty substantial book. Zach and I read this together and discussed it each day, and it's a book on the kingdom of God. I think that he attempts to be comprehensive in dealing with the wealth of biblical passages on the kingdom, defining the nature and the timing of the kingdom of God. And I think the best part of that book is that he has a pastoral purpose and desire that he makes clear in his intro, which is that he wants believers to actually give conscious thought to the kingdom and to live in light of it each day. He shows that the kingdom is a primary theme of Scripture and is thus vital for Christians as we seek to interpret the Bible, know God and his redemptive plan more, and live out what the Bible teaches. And so that was the books I read. They're very good, and I would suggest them to you guys. Something else I did was I memorized the book of 2 John, and that was very encouraging to do this. I've never memorized the whole book of the Bible before, and so it was really great to be able to kind of get a handle on that. And even though I might not be perfect every time I recite it, it's still great to have just really know the text of 2 John a lot better now. I preached three Sunday mornings over the course of those three Sundays. We went through 1 John 3, 4 through 18. We saw how we need to understand the seriousness of sin and the greatness of our Savior, to let sin be bitter so that Christ would be sweet. We saw how being united to Christ as the sinless Son enables us and commands us to live lives free from sin and to continually and habitually practice righteousness. And as we saw this past Sunday, Christians are to love one another with Christ-like love, which looks like sacrificing one's own desires to preserve and to give life to others, rather than to sacrifice others' lives in order to preserve and give life to yourself. We also went through five Wednesday nights together. We, in May, finished out the book of Joshua over three Wednesdays, which was really encouraging. And then we also talked about how the Messiah of the Old Testament is identified as Jesus of Nazareth in John 2 at the wedding of Cana, as he shows that life under his kingdom rule looks like being drunk on the riches of his goodness. And we saw last Wednesday from the book of Revelation seven critical teachings about the Holy Spirit. I also helped with VBS, which was a great time. Always love doing that. Love the junior high kids. They're a hoot to be around. And I also did the drama for that, which is always a fun time. I keep on getting pegged as like the comic relief of these things. And so I'm like the dumb guy that makes a lot of stupid jokes and fights alligators. And that's been, you know, they should have an, they don't do that in your school, by the way. Like at Cedarville, they don't have like a VBS drama class that you do, you know. By the way, whenever you get into your ministry positions, you're going to have to act as Sir Laughs-a-Lot and as C.J. McGee and make a lot of stupid jokes. But no, it's such a joy to be able to do that and to connect with the kids in that way. I still have Sean's boy. Happy and Jason. Jason still comes up to me and asks me if I'm okay and if the alligator's okay after I fought him. Still right now. I made some more progress on the new membership class, which I equipped this morning in staff meeting, that it's like trying to drive a nail through concrete. It just is like, it just doesn't go a lot of places for me. It's kind of the thing that always gets put on the back burner as other things become more pressing. I transcribed and edited Zach's series on how to be a first responder to the gospel into a book to give to new members. I should have brought that up with me. It's a cool little booklet. I taught Sunday school. We're going through Ephesians, having a great time looking at the beauties of the gospel and about the triune God in Ephesians. Transcribed some messages. I went through two counseling case studies. I attended all the staff meetings, attended all elders meetings. I typed up the minutes for elders meetings. I began meeting weekly, discipling someone from the church, and have had an awesome time, very beneficial, fruitful time doing that. I began to plan the Labor Day booth and the Cedarville booth along with Zach. I am leading a Saturday morning men's group, which has been a great time. We've been doing that since January, I think, for a while. Met with Zach consistently and discussed ministry and read Vlock's book together. I had to type up for school. I had to type up an 1,000-word weekly reflection every week, reflecting on the things that I was reading, learning, and doing. I wrote two reflection papers, one on the on Lehman's book on authority and one on Impossible Christianity by DeYoung. I had to observe someone teaching a Sunday school class and write up a report. And when I say report in the next coming things I list as well, I don't mean like I had to answer a page of yes or no questions and turn it in. I had to answer like way too many pages of way too many questions with way too many words, and it took way too much time. But anyways, that is what I mean when I say the word report. Observe. I also had to observe someone preaching on Sunday, which happened to be Zach, and write a report on that. I had to write a report on one of the elders' meetings I attended. I had to write a report on helping out with VBS and what it was like to help lead, plan, and execute those plans with regard to junior high. I wrote a report on how many discipling relationships I had and how they were going. I had to research and write a paper on a theology of vocation and work. And this was actually a really fruitful exercise, theology of vocation and work. It was something I did over a week, and it was just super beneficial for me just to think about and see how our work and God's work are unified and how we are participating in God's work in the world. For example, food getting to your table is an example of God's work to provide for his creation through the work of human hands. God created, sustains, and works through the farmers who grow and harvest that food. He created and sustains the truck drivers who deliver it all over the country, the factories and warehouse workers that process and package it, the grocery store managers and employees that put it on the shelves, the mechanics and factory workers who made your car to drive it and to go buy it. And in short, God is sovereignly working in all things, yes, and even something like that. And that we, in our vocations, in our human vocations, work together for that one goal of getting food on our tables. And there's tons of other examples, too. Here's an excerpt from my paper on that. I say that the biblical doctrine of vocation and work clarifies that human vocation is a means through which God accomplishes the work he started in the beginning to create a people for his own possession and to rule over the whole earth for his glory. As humanity understands their role in the world as God's image bearers and vice regents, vessels through which his work can be accomplished, they can further participate in God's work in the world, fulfill their God-given function, and give glory to him. For the Christian, human vocations are gospel, arenas in which God's love and grace can be clearly received and shown to others. So that was a very fruitful exercise for me. I had to research and write a longer paper on my philosophy of ministry, in which I defined the philosophy of pastoral ministry as the oversight of God's people in a local gathering of God's church for the maturing of that body into God's Son by the equipping of God's saints through the proclamation of God's word to the praise of God's glory. And finally, I wrote up a report on the entire internship for my instructor at Cedarville. And I had to do that all in 14 weeks, minus vacation and minus VBS. So that was a packed summer. I really enjoyed it all and really had a good time doing all that, and I learned a lot. But what did I learn specifically? I couldn't get everything I learned into one talk, but there's three things I just want to briefly mention. I believe I said this last year, but the importance of being around the people of a church, I really kind of experientially felt again. Every year that I'm here, I just, whether it's conversations with senior saints or being around the younger people in the church that are my age, there's just this felt understanding that ministry is not just sitting in a classroom, and it's not just studying for sermons, and it's not just getting up in front, but it's being in the lives of people. And that's something I could never really actually learn in my classes at Cedarville. They can tell me that all the day long, but whenever I hear Jay and Kathy King across the dinner table talking about their lives and speaking into my life, or whenever I hear the guys on Saturday morning talking about the things they're working with in their own spiritual walks, that's whenever everything kind of comes together. And that's just been really impactful for me and something that I will never forget. No matter where I go from here, I will always remember that lesson I've learned over and over again throughout these past 3 years. In ministry, I learned very, very much this year, especially in last year. Time is precious. I wasted some days, you know, I wasted time. I got caught going down rabbit holes in my study, you know, studying a passage or even thinking about something while I studied a passage and going down that rabbit hole. I got distracted. I had to work later at night sometimes. Things got in the way, whether by my own doing or by things I could not control. And ultimately, I realized that time is so very precious, and it takes lots of discipline to make sure I am maximizing that time well, especially in ministry stuff, whenever sermons take a long time to get together, and preparing for discipling someone takes a long time to get together, and writing a paper, preparing that meeting, or whatever. So the lesson I learned was it's very important that as those in ministry who care for other souls, that they would remain focused on the ultimate task and to capitalize on the time they are given. And third and finally, I had to be reminded that in light of not getting everything I might want to do in one summer done, or not getting as much done in the membership class that I wanted to, or whatever it might be, that success in ministry is not defined by getting stuff done, but is defined by faithfulness to the Lord. And that's something that I learned last year through a book I read, something that Zach has really gotten across to me a lot. Something that I relearned again is that discouragement over not getting stuff done as much as you would want is not the definition of faithfulness, but it's not the definition of faithfulness, it's not the definition of success, but rather faithfulness is the definition of success in ministry. So that was my summer, and I really enjoyed it and look forward to continuing to work here throughout the rest of the year and as long as I'm able to be here. So thank you.